Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer. David Faber is on assignment. Q2 begins with a solid jobs number for March, 431,000, shy of estimates, but with some big revisions. Unemployment down to a cycle low 3.6, wages up 5.6, and labor force participation up for a third straight month. We're going to start with that jobs number, Jim. We added 1.7 million jobs in Q1, and at this three-month average rate, we'd make up for pandemic by year end.
Yeah, I think that this is a mixed blessing because wages aren't keeping pace with inflation. So if you're Jay Powell, you're saying, listen, this is absolutely terrific, but the purchasing power is going down for Americans. What I think Jay has to watch is what's going on in the equity market, which is that almost every group that I follow, except for energy and cybersecurity, are expecting that there'll be pricing pressure because of the Fed. So suddenly you have mortgage rates up in anticipation of what the Fed's going to do, far beyond what anyone thought they were going to do. And that's the biggest fulcrum that the Fed has. I know some people, Stephanie Link, talk about supply chain. Believe me, if things slow down, if housing slows, then if you're Whirlpool or if you're Masco, the cabinet maker, your orders are not going to be as robust, which allows you to catch up. I think what Jay Powell has to worry about is even the opposite of what people are saying, which is that is everybody going to be geared up in selling things at the moment when the market is when the job market is rolling over?
By selling things, you mean selling stocks?
Yeah, no, Whirlpool. Let's use a Whirlpool. Like Whirlpool, they can't meet demand. So what happens? Let's say they're going full tilt, and then suddenly there isn't the housing market slows. Well, it isn't like they're able to kind of stop it. It is one of those moments where there are a lot of companies that are rethinking how aggressive they want to be for 2023.
On guidance or pricing?
On both. And I fear when you look at Dell going down today, this is the second downgrade of Dell.
Yeah, Goldman today.
There's a sense, and if you look at Williams-Sonoma, when you look at RH, which was the most frightened conference call maybe of my lifetime, I wish I were not kidding about that. I mean, because, you know, everything from nuclear war to Janet Yellen invoked there. I think you see a belief that what's happened is that there was this giant shift to hybrid. And you had to have two houses, you had to have two cars, you had everything new, you needed a new dishwasher, you needed Stanley Works tools, and you certainly needed to build that office out with a Dell or an HP. And I think everybody finished. They've all built.
Well, it's certainly the word out of JP Morgan today as they worry about end demand if the macro weakness continues. So they take Apple and Qualcomm off of the focus list.
Now that's okay. Let's just explain why I think that's completely wrong.
All right, it just fits with exactly what you just said.
Well, no, because 5G is a secular change. Yes, the consumer may be weakening, but I would have said, well, maybe you take Apple lower because of Europe, but I'm not hearing that. But a lot of this was just from what our interview with Sanjay Mehrotra from Micron, where he said that PCs are soft and cell phones are soft. Now, if you go speak to Qualcomm, they'll tell you, look, worldwide, everyone's going to 5G, and Apple's going to 5G. So I think that those were not the ones you should have picked. You should have done Texas Instruments. You should have done Analog Devices. Corvo.
Some of the names Goldman took.
That's the way to do it. That you don't go after the ones that have secular growth. By the way, Apple. Once again, what are they doing? They're trading it, not owning it. I love them because I've built a career on people who have been trading Apple incorrectly. And here we go. Now, Apple was up for 13 straight days, 12 days, and blah blah blah. But I think Apple's having a darn good quarter. And if you sell Apple, I begged, I want to see you get back in at 167.38. Go ahead. I want you to make my day, GameStoppers.
Yeah. Those who tried at 150 had the door shut on them.
Where are they? See, now they were so clever. They knew because the neat guy had said that Tim Cook had called all the suppliers and basically, you know, hey, listen, man, we're so stuck with phones. Could you please make less? Yeah, like that's what he does. Hey, we're going to miss the quarter and I really need your help. That's what he does. I mean, now, there are people who feel that I want to buy some Activision.
We're gonna get to the journal story. A couple new developments on the ATV ideal yesterday. But as for the jobs number, Jim, obviously you think this clears the way for 50.
Yeah, 50 with a party on. Yeah. Because look,
75.
Well, now that would be a total outlier. I did have 430 today in the pool. I think that what's Brian Deese, we gotta speak to him. Yep. I think that Jay Powell was waiting to see if Omicron was going to be really bad. You know, he had, what kind of, wow, we just had an accident here. What kind of guidance did Jay Powell get from the health, by our health professionals? It was this. It was around Thanksgiving. And what he heard was, this is worse and faster and it could be deadlier. So is he supposed to take aggressive action? Then you come in, the Russians don't move against Ukraine ahead of the Olympics, which they should have, by the way, because then they could have gone and cut off natural gas when it was still cold. Instead, they wait because they don't want to upset President Xi. Yep. But now, I mean, we got a lot of people who are saying, look out, this is starting to hurt demand, too. Now, that's a psychological demand call is what we're getting. I mean, that was, if you go over RH, what they're saying is rich people who are worried about Ukraine have cut back on their spending.
Yep.
Now, rich people is not defined by Wayfair, but that's being downgraded everywhere. It's defined by Williams-Sonoma.
There was some data this morning, thanks to Lizanne Saunders, on wealthy Americans having second thoughts about second homes. Demand right. for vacation properties lowest since May 2020.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and I love Lizanne. I think that's it. I mean, I think that the second homes that were needed for hybrid work have been bought. The next second home, you're not getting 5%. You're getting 6%.
So on now your jumbo.
On your jumbo. Yeah. If you're lucky, if you have a great balance sheet, you're getting 6. So suddenly you've got this real cost. These are slowing down America. So Jay Powell, you must say, when is he going to call me Fed Chief? Fed Chief has got the market is doing some of his work and mm-hmm. he has to do the rest. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it.
Sounds like you think maybe there's a time to sell in Q2.
Yeah,
you do. Really?
Well, we let it come back. I mean, you know, look at the housing stocks. They're trading at a fraction of what they were. I don't want to get rid of travel yet because I still think people, that's a secular, I mean, you know, if you hold
There's
off on getting
still some
married,
savings.
Yeah, you hold off on getting married, you hold off on having kids. I mean, that's all going to happen.
Right.
But the stocks themselves are down so much that they're completely anticipating a recession. Many are anticipating a recession. If we don't get a recession, then the stocks that are up right now on our board, like a KB Homes, which is at book value, those will be buys. But I think toll could be at 40.
You know, it's 40. Interesting you mentioned toll. I don't know if we can build a chart of toll versus cost. Costco and toll are used by B of A today as proxies for staples versus home builders. And you look at the divergence there, Jim. I mean, that's a real recession argument, you could argue.
Oh, yeah. Look, toll makes beautiful homes in areas where they need homes. But at the same time, they haven't taken a pause in building. Because Doug Yearley has said over and over again, CEO, this is the best housing market ever. Now, it is until mortgage rates go so high that it's not. And I want to see the spring selling season, see whether it's held back. Because, you know, 5.5-6 versus 3.5-4, that really, I mean, people don't like to buy when they're that, you know, a lot of people may think that rates are going to come back. But I think that rates are going in the right direction.
B of A today also says, what's the big pain trade for Q2? Long, the contrarian trade, long bonds, short commodities, because you would be going from a rates shock, as Hartnett likes to say, to a growth shock. Would you ever
call.
Do that?
Yeah, I love
it. You
well,
do?
No, I mean, I loved it for the parlor game nature of it. Okay. I thought it was just fun, you know, it's kind of like, wow, who are the Eagles going to draft? I mean, it's a game. Let's be serious, okay? Real money is made by looking at great companies like a Costco and buying them. Not like, hey, I'll go long Costco. You know, that's a hedge fund game. You know, the hedge funds love to lose money, but because they still get their percentage, and the rich people don't know of any different, right? They're busy buying calls on Activision.
Yeah.
May have to cover that.
Yeah.
But I do think that, for the most part, this, the economy is going Jay's way because the companies are all, the stocks are all anticipating it, with the exception of steel stocks and energy. And believe me, the president wants to make, if the president wants to make Pioneer pump more oil, it's not going to happen. That was a very impassioned plea that the president made. Look, you want to plea? Open Keystone. Get the heavy bitumen oil here and have it refined by the refineries that can handle that. But that's sacrilegious in the same way that it became sacrilegious in Germany to do anything other than rely on Russian fossil fuel rather than their own fossil fuel.
Yep. Now, who knows?
Look at that list.
We talked about the SPR release yesterday.
Yeah.
But oil today dips below 98.
Right.
First time below the 50-day since January, Jim.
Well, that's why that commodity trade is very interesting, isn't it?
But do you think it's a temporary mechanical trade?
Look, yes, because the fact is that if, let's say, tomorrow, the very fickle Chinese government said, you know what, we're going to reopen Shanghai on April 7, then you're going to see a huge trade into oil by people saying, ooh, the Chinese economy's back. That's just what happens. There's a lot of knee-jerk trading. But the fact is that the oil companies are probably a million barrels shy here. Our economy is still using a lot of oil. But if you really want to, like, be short oil ahead of what could be some wild man Putin move, I mean, you know, we stopped talking about Ukraine for a couple of days.
Yep.
But that's a mistake. They have 20% casualties in that army, the Russians. Some people say, well, Russia, this is all going Russia's way. Now, we had 11% casualties on D-Day. 10 to 11% casualties on Battle of the Bulge. Now, these are regarded as being the two most dangerous days in World War II for America. And we're doing 10, 11. They're doing 20. So if you take 20% per month, then in the end, you don't have an army. So I think that you have to keep an eye on Putin and how desperate he's going to become. Because he's now losing the war. And he's losing it because the Ukrainian army is being certainly getting some offensive
weapons. Reports today of a chopper attack cross-border.
Unbelievable.
On a Russian fuel depot.
It's unbelievable that they did that. Now, we're not there yet, are we, with the former CEO Lloyd Blankfein calling for a Doolittle raid on Moscow. Nelson, Jim, I didn't say Moscow.
There's been Lindsey Graham and some others who've been more aggressive, even more
exactly.
Hawkish than you.
I know. They are more hawkish. No, no one's more hawkish than I am. That's wrong. I just think the Russians, this is not the Russia of old. All that hype about how great they can't even feed. Hey, they have so much fuel, why can't they get their tanks filled? And by the way, they did this thing all wrong. Had they started the war when they should have, it's no different from when Hitler was not able to start until the third week of June against Russia and therefore had to deal with the rainy season and then had to deal with the Russian winter. These guys were as bad as the Nazis in terms of their planning.
Well, we wish that hadn't happened at all. It's
a horrible thing that they're doing. I'm very proud that we gave $100,000 from the trust to American Red Cross for Poland, which you can do that. But from what I can see, this is going to be a humanitarian crisis like you wouldn't believe for no reason whatsoever. And we're not even as tough on the Russians as we were during Afghanistan when Dan Rather went to see it.
Yep. No, and we've not even talked about hunger as a weapon, which
we should be in front and center talking about the humanitarian crisis that is being created for no reason. But no, we sent them 100 drones. How about 1,000 drones?
Yeah. That's been your common thing.
Because drones can wipe out artillery and they can also pinpoint generals.
A lot to get to this morning, obviously, as we kick off Q2. Take a look at futures here. We mentioned the jobs number 431K. That revision, by the way, for the prior month goes from 678 to 750K. Pretty
help
good numbers.
Wanted. We have help wanted here. Look at this, right here. We have help wanted, right? Did that woman win in Jeopardy last night? Because I know he's.
We'll get David back next week. More Squawk on the Street in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
GameStop surging in the pre-market. Company plans to seek shareholder approval to boost the number of outstanding shares in order to enable a stock split. Tesla outlined a similar plan earlier in the week, as you know. GameStop proposing an increase to 1 billion shares from 300 million, Jim. Tesla, Amazon, Google,
well,
club's growing.
People have recognized that you need to cater more to the individual investor. The hedge funds and the big mutual funds are not who you want anymore because they're not sticky. This is something that Ryan Cohen is very right to do at GameStop, because what you want to do is make it so that that stock price is lower. Now, there are a lot of people who were thinking that the fractional share would take off. But fractional shares scare people. It's not really worked. So you get, I mean, if he had done a 4-for-1, it would have been up, say, through 200. He might still, I don't know, once he could do it with a billion shares. But the people who like GameStop love it even more. Now, Ryan Cohen, we haven't talked about, he's in a war against BCG, where he says that they did absolutely nothing, and BCG thinks that GameStop stiffed them. And Ryan Cohen is out of, he is saying, basically, he's very Musk-like in his attack on BCG. Now, the very staid, nice people of BCG must be dying. Because Ryan Cohen, if Ryan Cohen said, listen, I want ice cream cones sent to BCG, as many as you can,
sure,
they would be overwhelmed with ice cream cones.
Yeah. We are seeing some halo on AMC, Bed Bath. Do you think the split thing has legs?
I mean, yeah, very much so.
We do. B of A has a note today that if you look at the S&P, names above $500 a share, it's like 15% of the index. If you're looking for other candidates.
Well, I speak to, offline, when I speak to a CEO that has a stock that's higher than 100, I say, please, go do some history. Look at history. During the great 80s bull market, when the Pepsis and Cokes went up, they split the stock because they were conscious of the individual investor. And you're thumbing your nose at the individual investor if you're Shopify at 680. You're thumbing your nose at Costco. Now, I have not pushed Costco enough because they're such a good company. But there is just they ought to sit up and take notice because they need individual investors. I told that to Disney. I said, look, you got to get the individual investor in because the hedge funds hate you. I mean, it's funny. I mean, like, they have this big meeting. They bring everybody down to Walt Disney World. Yeah. And what happens? Guys are shorting it. They're saying this thing stinks. And, like, Disney Plus is awful. And they hate Pluto. And, you know, they won't even put their arms around, you know, Minnie and whatever. It's like sexual harassment by putting your arm around Minnie.
Do you think any of this related to Disney is because of the political heat they're now under regarding their stance in Florida?
Yes.
Fox News is all over Disney, as you know.
Yeah. I mean, they've managed to alienate gays and straights. It's really a rather remarkable thing. You got to work so hard to do that. I mean, do you think about how hard that is? I mean, you got to like sit there and plot that one. This meeting, which I thought was going to be so important and move the stock, I was wrong. And one of the reasons I was wrong is because the controversial nature of the CEO, who I just seems to just not get the zeitgeist of the moment. He was talking a lot about the metaverse, you know. Well, no, NVIDIA.
First things first.
Yeah, Facebook.
Yeah. We'll see. The reopening trade, availability at Disney World, still tough to get.
Oh, and by the way, parent company, Comcast, try getting in to our
Universal
theme parks. You can't get into our theme parks.
Yeah.
They're too filled.
We're going to watch that. Cramer's Mad Dash, of course, on this Friday morning as we get closer to the opening bell in just under 10 minutes. Don't go away.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
Time for Cramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell.
Okay, so if everybody's worried about supply chain and everyone's worried about the economy slowing and the twos and the tens, I've not mentioned the twos and tens because that mystifies everybody, but that's okay. It just says stocks are going lower. Then Edwards Life Sciences, Cowen comes out today. They have a device that is the miracle device. This is the one you just have to crack open the chest, you know, boom. Now they just insert the device, and it is just on fire. I've had the company on Mad Money, and I just think that if you want a company that is not going to be impacted by the slings and arrows of the Fed, but is doing well because we no longer worry about COVID, it's EW. So I've now given you the stock. Jeff Marks and I going back and forth about EW today and whether it's too expensive on a P.E. multiple. But what I love about it is that you're never going to see that it's going to get hurt by J. Powell.
Right. Are you the same way with all medical products?
No.
The Strikers of the world and others?
No, it's got to be hard.
Got to be hard.
It's got to be hard because people are still going to hold back, I think. There's been no surge in new knees, new hips, no surge. But there has been a surge in heart.
Right.
And I got that from a couple other companies, too, including Abiomed, which also makes, you know, if you look at the heart, well, I mean, it's kind of Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
But EW takes care of this part, and this part is ABMD. And, you know, you want to be involved in this. Heart is very, you know, 700,000 people can die of congestive heart failure. It's the most avoidable death in America. People don't want to go. They're afraid to hear it, but they shouldn't because EW's device works.
Well, joints are easily deferable, right? Those are
yes,
procedures.
But not heart. Yeah. I mean, people are deferring heart. I mean, that is like, I think, the ultimate in being cavalier about how strong your heart is. But the stuff that we have now for congestive heart failure is so amazing. And EW, I think, is probably the best. It's come down, working its way back now. But they are a remarkable company. And I do believe that people, even Herb Greenberg, remember the short seller Herb Greenberg?
Of course.
He sent me a piece about why he likes EW. EW! I mean, but Edwards Life Sciences, I remember when my father had a heart problem and the University of Pennsylvania HUP doctor said, I said, oh, my God, you have to crack the chest cave. No, he said, EW, Edwards Life Sciences.
That's a good catch.
Yeah.
We'll watch that. I got the jobs number, of course, to dig in on a little bit more. By the way, we'll get White House reaction to the number in just a few moments from the National Economic Council Director Brian Deese. Talk some oil prices and releasing reserves as well. We're back in a moment. Some U.S.-listed China stocks rallying in the pre-market. According to Bloomberg, Chinese authorities are preparing to give U.S. regulators full access to auditing reports of most of the 200-plus companies listed in New York as soon as mid-year. Jim, it's being characterized as a pretty big concession by the Chinese.
Yes, and if you want to know what the top pick is of these, if you do want to go, there's a rigorous fellow at Bernstein. Well, I know Robin Sue, I shouldn't say fellow. But it says JD is the top pick. I don't know if you saw Wynn was upgraded today. Chapel Trust owns Wynn. It's been terrible.
Citi takes it to buy 96.
Yes, and again, you know, you have to feel that there's better times coming ahead in China for that to happen, although it is just an inexpensive stock. I believe, I don't want to call a thaw between United States and China, because remember, we did get that the Boeing, but it wasn't a new order. But I would say that there is a freeze coming between the Russians and the Chinese. It's just all the work I do say that the Chinese have said, you know what? We wish you the best of luck. Why? Because they back winners, and Putin doesn't look like he's winning.
That's exactly, we'll talk about that in a second. There's the opening bell, CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, it's truck provider Custom Truck One Source, celebrating its first listing anniversary at the NASDAQ. Golden Matrix, a developer and licensor of online gaming platforms. To your point about China, though, Jim, I mean, EU's their biggest trading partner.
Right.
And the FT yesterday made the argument that they kind of got stuck with Putin, kind of got played a bit, and are now have a vassal state on their hands, some argue.
Yeah, well, that's really important. I mean, people forget that Italy, which has an economy the size of Russia, kind of sold out to China with the Belt and Road Initiative. Now they have someone who runs the country, Draghi, who's very smart. And I think that Italy is trying to figure out who they're with. The Germans are trying to figure out who they're with. But the Chinese will go with who anybody's with because 25% of their business goes there. And the Chinese, let me tell you what the Chinese are very afraid of. This is really interesting. Between our natural gas and Australian natural gas, if the president wanted to, instead of browbeating the pioneers of the world and the EOGs, we could shut them down. We could shut China down. We could turn down. We could just say no more LNG to you, China. But we don't, you know, their president is uniquely tone deaf to what can really happen. But you could shut them down. You could go to Australia and say, listen, we don't want you to send any more LNG.
Raimondo did meet with Australian officials yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And guess what, China? You don't have the upper hand. You don't have the leverage. And Russia, you don't have the leverage. The West is proving to be stronger than we thought. And by the way, the paper tiger that is Putin, how many conscripts are just kind of every day saying, man, I can't wait to kill our people? Because a lot of people feel it's their people.
Right.
They're killing a lot in the East. They're killing Russians. So that's Russians against Russians because Putin is calling for Russia. Like, I don't know why you would shoot your own people. I mean, why?
Yeah, or shoot down your own planes, as some reports have suggested.
Well, you know, look, Chechnya, you know, they were Muslims, and they are Muslims, and Putin was telling the West, listen, they're all terrorists, which, of course, proved untrue. But this is, you know, these are people who are, it's hard. If you're a soldier, I mean, you know, think about Kent State, what happened here. Our soldiers killed people who were unarmed, and it changed the world. They're killing civilians who are Russians. So, I mean, I don't get it. But believe me, the Russian people, if they knew, and I get pictures of department stores, if they knew what other people had. But the press, there is no free press.
Right.
So if you have no free press, then you're not unlike what, I don't mind talking about the Nazis anymore because it's like Nazis. Then you're like when Goebbels said we have to have the Stalingrad's men's chorus singing Christmas carols when there was no men's chorus and they were dying.
Well, a lot of the polling research suggests Russians aren't really paying attention to the war at all because they're not fed any information about it.
No, I mean, or they're saying that the war's going well.
Right.
And you always see these polls saying that Putin's ratings are high. Okay, so you're in Russia. Do you want to say, I love this phone? No, I don't like Putin. I mean, what are you, like, out of your mind?
Sure. Yeah.
I would say Putin's the greatest man ever, Nobel Peace Prize.
Jim, you've mentioned ATVI a couple of times now. What do you make of this? And what do you make of Diller's comments? I didn't wait until I was 80 to participate in so obvious a fraud.
Look, we don't know what really went on. I know Barry Diller, and it does seem crazy that, I mean, you know, he's a very savvy person about business and stocks. So I don't know the details. I know that there were calls bought. But just Barry, I'm, you know, benefit of the doubt, we don't have a Justice Department. The Justice Department leaked this? I don't know. But, Barry Diller, I'm going with this kind of American justice, innocent until proven guilty. Barry Diller did not just fall off a turnip truck. So you could say, well, wait a second. Neither did Martha Stewart in the days when she did the wrong thing. The Justice Department caught her. Barry Diller, I'm not buying it until I've got a real indictment.
Right.
I'm just not buying it.
Now, in addition to that, we had four senators yesterday asking to look into further the harassment allegations. Do you think the deal's in jeopardy or not? Bottom line.
I still don't. Those senators are some of the more radical senators. We have radical senators now, not unlike in the early 30s. And we have senators who, these are severe charges. And, you know, Kodak, I think, you know, by Bobby Kotick's incredible. I'm going to say he's incredibly rich, but you got to be miserable and horrible because you presided over this enterprise that you kind of was hoping, like, give it to Microsoft, maybe get rid of it. And no, it's just that he's being dogged. Again, someone would say, Jim, he's rich, so what? It's not great to have the senators come down and say, listen, we see what you did, Bobby Kotick. Bobby Kotick came on Mad Money to talk about, hey, listen, we're like doing our best. And that wasn't good enough, obviously.
Amazon, we're watching for the final vote tallies in Alabama and New York, but it does look like Alabama is going to reject union efforts once again. Got some data on Andy Jassy pay, even higher than Gelsinger's. But I would imagine you'd argue more deserved in that case.
Better year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Gelsinger, you know, Stafford had a better year. Mahomes. Now, I had a little, there's a terrific woman, Jenny, who's on the judge's show, and she and I were arguing about the cash flow situation at Intel. And what I've been saying is there's a messianic approach to Gelsinger and the Ohio Silicon, and he's just on a mission. And man, do I ever not want to own stock if someone is on a mission.
Right.
See, that's bad. I don't want a mission. I want profits. And I'm not talking about the P-R-O-P-H-E-T kind. I'm a seller of the profits. This is a remarkable thing to have a CEO who is deciding himself that he's going to take a company and rebuild American manufacturing with the help of Commerce Secretary Raimondo. And I bet you can't find 100 people who can do what he wants them to do in Ohio.
Yeah, I imagine you're applauding him, but it's not a stock.
Exactly.
Not through this lens.
Well, look, I think you can do two things. I think you can praise a company and not own the stock. And that's my feeling with Intel. I praise what he wants to do. I think it's terrific. We need that. But I'd rather own AMD. I think AMD's come down too much. My trust owns it.
You mentioned
this
yesterday.
I was well aware that when the Sanjay Mehrotra interview on our show was what caused a huge shift in people's thinking. And you, I mean, you got to go back and parse every word. That's ridiculous. Stock's down. It's down 9 yesterday. But all he said was that there's some weakness in cell phone and PC. But he never said, he didn't quantify that the weakness is in 4, not 5. People want to upgrade. They want to upgrade. They want to get out of 4. G4 is dying. And so what he's saying is that G4 is dying. But G5, you know, you get to 5. The 5 is growing like mad. And high-performance computing. Now, the issue is gaming. Is gaming strong or weak? And, Carl, I've got to tell you, I keep hearing that gaming is weakening. But I want to hear it from Best Buy.
Right.
I don't want to just hear it from, you know, the shorts.
Sure. Yeah, we'll watch it.
I read the shorts and
we'll watch it.
Twitter.
Yeah.
They think that no one's buying any of them.
Yep, we're going to pay attention to consumer end demand for chips. The jobs number, of course, is hugely consequential today. The ongoing inflationary headwinds for the economy and potential recession warning signs. We're joined this morning exclusively by top White House economic advisor, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese. Brian, good to see you. Happy Friday. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Some people looking at the print today and saying with 1.7 million jobs printed in the quarter, hard to imagine that we're in a recession right now.
It's hard to see. This is a strong report, and what it underscores is the incredible resilience of the labor market recovery. As you said, we're seeing about 560,000 jobs a month over the last quarter, and that's been consistent over the last year. And importantly, we're seeing that in broad breadth. And of course, we see the unemployment rate now down to 3.6%. We've not had an unemployment rate lower than that in the last 50 years. There's only been 3 months in the last 50 years that the United States has had an unemployment rate lower than 3.6%. So we're continuing to see a lot of momentum and strength in this labor market recovery.
Labor force, 62.4. We're within a stone's throw here now of getting to pre-pandemic levels. Do you think that's going to happen? And why is it up for 3 straight months?
Well, I think you're raising a really important point. If you look at labor force participation, you know, we've had a lot of talk about people getting back to work. the 12-month increase in labor force participation over the last year is stronger than at any time in recorded history in the U.S. And labor force participation has come back stronger in this recovery than any of the past four recoveries. We're seeing that accelerate over the last couple of months. That's a very good sign. It's a sign that people are getting back into the labor force. We're seeing more segments of the population get into the labor force as well. And that's, of course, good for the question on the long term of price pressures in the economy. We need more people to get into the labor force, but what we're seeing is that happening at a historic rate right now.
Well, Brian, Jim Cramer, I am concerned that the wages are not growing as fast as inflation. Don't want guns and butter. You know that it's a Pyrrhic victory to have tremendous employment growth if the price of everything. Everything is going higher. What are you going to do about it?
Well, number one, we are continuing to see strong wage growth, and the wage growth in the bottom half of the income distribution is continuing to drive that in an outsized way, so that even in real terms, we're seeing strength in that wage base at the lower end. But you're absolutely right. We need to focus on costs and prices. The Federal Reserve is acting on the monetary policy side. From our end, we're focused on where we can actually bring price pressure down and lower costs for consumers. I'd point to what the president did yesterday, an unprecedented historic step to use the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to put 1 million barrels a day of oil onto the market in this short-term bridge over the next several months as U.S. producers ramp up. That's a step that we can take. We've seen some moderation in the price of oil as a result. And we're going to keep looking for places where we can lower costs. There are a lot of places where we could actually lower the costs of lower income families today in a way that wouldn't add to inflationary pressure. Those are the kinds of things that we should prioritize in this economic moment.
Are you ready for the longshoreman strike July 1?
I'm sorry, what?
For a longshoreman strike, the contract's up in the
summer. On the West Coast. Look, yeah. We have been on this issue of fluidity at the West Coast ports for some time now. As you know, and you all have covered, it's been a journey, but we've made extraordinary progress. Dwell times at LA and Long Beach are down 60% since September when we all started really focusing on this. And obviously, as we look forward, there are real challenges, the labor negotiation, one of them, going into peak buying season, what's happening in China and Xinjiang right now, all of those are risk factors, but we've got an entire team focused on this. We nominated, the president put a port envoy, John Porcari, into that role precisely because we knew these are issues where we need public-private collaboration. And on that issue and others, we're going to continue to do what we can to just bring people around the table, try to find practical solutions, whether that's sharing data more effectively or figuring out a path forward through the labor negotiations.
Hey, Brian, the SPR release got a lot of attention this week. Actually, gasoline futures have leveled off a bit, started the week around 340 and we're about 312 this morning. What is the long-term strategy of that release, given that it's going to take a while for the oil to hit the market? And how do you react to people saying it is a midterm gimmick?
I think it's exactly the opposite. This is a well-calibrated but historic step to actually supply the market into what is a clear supply disruption. We have a clear supply disruption, not enough supply in the market because Russian oil has come off, and we can use this national asset to put 1 million barrels a day onto the market. I know there's been some questions. We have the operational capacity to put up to 4 million barrels a day through the four different caverns that make up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We can do that, and we can do it in consultation with our allies. There's an IEA meeting going on right now. We anticipate there'll be an announcement out of that around a collective release from reserves around the world. This isn't a gimmick. This is a practical way to get supply onto the market more quickly than production can ramp up elsewhere.
Okay, so one of the things that concerned me yesterday about what the president said was there are a lot of wells that have been drilled but are not in operation. But these are on land that is not owned by the federal government, by some very responsible companies that are trying very hard, by the way, to reduce their carbon footprint. And suddenly they wake up and instead of being told, hey, listen, you know, we've got the Permian and we're doing a great job, they're told, yo, if you pump or else. And I wanted to know what else means. Is else mean tax? A tax if they don't pump?
Well, I'm glad you asked the question. I know you were talking about this earlier. What the president was talking about yesterday was only activity on public land, on federal land.
Okay.
So you're, 90% of activity happens on private land. The president wasn't speaking to that at all. On public land, where companies are actually getting permits from the federal government for land that the that is the taxpayer's resource, what the president has said is, if you are going to actually use the permitted areas that you have permitted and explore or turn those wells back on, that's fantastic. And if not, you should pay a higher royalty to hold on to those permits if you're not going to explore them. Those companies, as you know, always have the option of returning those permits to the federal government or transferring them to others. So this is really not intended to be punitive. It's intended to be a practical step to try to encourage increased production on federal land, given the tools that we have. Companies are free to operate outside of federal land the way that they are and then the way they continue with.
All right, good, because it would be, you're absolutely, I can't, yes, these companies would be irresponsible during this time if they took, if they were on federal land. But I do know, sir, that we're really talking about a million barrels that they're holding back. I'm going to say it. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's much less than Keystone. And those refineries were built to handle heavy bitumen oil. And if you wanted to change things, you could say, you know what? Let's rethink Keystone. Are you thinking at all about that?
Look, I think we know from covering this, any action on Keystone wouldn't actually increase supply, and it would transmit oil years into the future. What we're focused on right now is what we can do right now. And to your point, there are wells that are shut in and that can be brought back online over the course of the next couple of months. That's what we need right now, is to address the immediate supply disruption. The disruption we have in the market is an immediate supply disruption. That's why the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is an appropriate and important tool to use, because it's designed to address immediate supply disruptions. And that's why this question of using permits, those 9,000 permits all on federal land, where there is already activity that's already been explored, those wells that can come back on, that's what's going to bring those million barrels a day in the short term, not long-term questions that we can have debates about. But the long-term questions really cloud what is the short-term priority. We're trying to keep our focus there.
Hey, finally, Brian, not at the risk of getting too wonky, you know, we end up talking about twos, tens, and 530s a lot, the yield curve and inversions. How does that get talked about in your office? Is there a sense that it remains a reliable indicator at all about recession risk?
Look, certainly it's something that we focus on and we track, and there's plenty of reason to pay attention to it, but also to have some, you know, questions about its relevance given the current market environment. I think it goes to is the broader question of recession risks in the economy. It's something that we pay attention to. We closely track the yield curve and other potential indicators. But I think the report today and a lot of other contemporaneous indicators underscore that what we're actually seeing in this economy right now is a strong and incredibly resilient labor market, a strong U.S. consumer with household balance sheets continuing to be in healthy shape, and the U.S. actually quite uniquely positioned globally to drive an economic recovery through a number of shocks, including the war and the supply shock that we're facing now. So if we look across indicators, really what we see is resilience, continued strength, real challenges on the price side, which is why we're focused on things like the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Brian, appreciate it. Covered some good ground today. Have a good weekend. Brian Deese.
You too.
National Economic Council.
That was very substantive. No, I mean, I'm used to dreading the interviews.
Yeah.
I'm used to saying, okay, well, I'll ask a question about oil, and he'll come back and say, you know what's so terrific about the wage rate? You know, and they'll say, well, let's talk about drilling. He says, you know what's so fantastic about it? We have many people involved. He listened to questions. What a delight.
Yeah.
Now, someone probably says he sounded like a Republican with the oil. But, you know, it was a delight to hear someone from an administration come on and respect and respond to our questions. And I applaud that, because it's usually a complete sham.
By the way, as we were talking, market manufacturing PMI for March coming out a couple moments ago, 58.8. We were looking for 58.5. Before we go to break, time for the bond report. We do got some inversions, threes, tens a bit, twos, tens. Still inverted by about one basis point.
Did you get my 210 doll in the mail? I've got a bunch of 210 dolls.
You hate this story. 10-year 244. Don't go away. It's another day of some downgrades for some retail names. In this case, Barclays cuts Gap to underweight, along with Wayfair. But look at Lululemon. It's going to be your biggest NASDAQ 100 gainer in
upcoming
for the week.
Meeting. Mirror apparently doing better. The new fashion style is really good. Calvin McDonald has got it going. And that turned out to be a pandemic stock that wasn't a pandemic stock.
Along DocuSign, we'll watch as well. And Booking Holdings, as the reopening trade remains in place, some say. Dow's up 70. Don't go anywhere. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
First, I want to say I did not mean to send NVIDIA down. Their business is strong. It's not – gaming is an open question, but I think gaming is strong. I want to clarify that. I'm getting a lot of heat. Okay, so Barclays comes out today and says they cut the numbers Procter and Colgate, Kimberly and Clorox. Now, I want to tell you that if you're Procter, these are all raw costs, you can actually stand up to any plastics company and say, you know what, we're not going to take that price increase. The other guys, maybe not. But I think the analysts should recognize that scale means that the chemical company takes the hit, not Procter. Mm. I like Procter very much here. Same thing with Pepsi and Coke. The people who supply them, they take the hit. This is not NVIDIA where they're telling everybody, listen, you need a subscription if you want our chips. You want our chips, a subscription, and then you got to buy the chips. So those who are selling NVIDIA on this, I mean, give me a print. I mean,
kind of
sell whatever.
Kind of the inverse of what Peltz once said about big lumbering brands, right? Jim, what's tonight?
Peltz is so right. And big wedding coming up there. Okay, so tonight I've got Broadridge, which is, we're talking about the actual voting because it's proxy season. And then I have Blue Owl, which is a company a lot of people have been asking about, which is a financial company that's doing quite well. Look, I got to tell you, people should vote. But the younger people like Robin Hood, they should recognize that you can vote.
Yes.
Got to work on that.
Yes, that's part of owning.
I love stock splits, guys. I'm coming after you if you don't do them. You favor the rich, and you don't want to do that.
We'll see you tonight at 6 p.m., and have a good weekend, Jim.
Thank you,
Mad
you
Money.
Too. 6 p.m. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.